All right, buddy, it's a Friday in Brooklyn, Nets land. What are we talking about?
Listen, that game, don't worry about that game. We got a whole nother game coming up here that's going to be a lot better for your guys from Brooklyn. We're also, of course, going to take a look back at that rotation, though, and see what we can glean about what we liked and maybe some potential changes that we want to see Steve Nash make early in the game to get the best use and functionality out of Kyrie Irving, out of James Harden, and then even some of these role players as well. And then listen, the debut of the Lock It Up segment, where I'm pretty sure you knock it out of the park.
Oh, of course. I think we made some ground-shifting changes in the rotations. I hope Steve Nash is listening. Please, Steve, listen. We got this solved for you. And then we make some definitive statements at the end. We're going to get all into... Oh, and also the popularity of the Nets growing. That's what we're going to talk about first. Forgot about that. Almost buried it. Going to get into it all. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner and operator, DFSR.com. You know I got you covered, all your betting and DFS needs for NBA, just a few more weeks of football as well. And that's Adam Armbrecht. He's the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, really just an expert on the entire team, fan for life, and parlayed it into something even better. How's it going, buddy?
Fantastic, man. I've come down off the buzz, we could call it, of the double overtime loss for Brooklyn. Now I'm still marinating, though. I have more thoughts from that game and then looking ahead to how we can apply it to the what will feel like deja vu, the Cleveland game Friday night.
Yeah, that's buzz is an interesting word because I think there was a lot of buzz and then it kind of just, I don't know, got zapped.
More of a fizzle.
Yeah, right at the end and it was just completely over. But I thought about it a while today and kind of just was off my, I think I was feeling after the game last night a little more worried. I still have the same concerns. They might just be the same season-long concerns. But I think we have to talk about here, though, some just general net stuff around the popularity of this team and how it's sort of just growing in the general consciousness now in a way that I'm not sure Nets fans have really experienced in a long time. Definitely not in this new era of superstars and super teams and things like that. Because you heard some pretty interesting news today around, and we've kind of seen it ourselves in terms of just the different analytics we're able to track and own personal stuff, but just the growing popularity of the Nets in the NBA and how much people are willing to want to kind of tune in and talk about them.
Yeah, this is a team that over the start of a relatively young season, but in terms of, you know, Yes Network is obviously the main network that carries them. So they've seen a nearly 100% jump. It's close to like 90% jump in viewership on a game-to-game basis. I think the number specifically around, you know, on a per game went from somewhere of like in the low to early 100,000 of viewerships, you know, per game, now jumping up into the 200,000 kind of range. So, you know, really what you're seeing is the compounding of diehard guys, you know, fans that were going to be there no matter what, but now you're getting this more national interest. And even to compound that would be, as I started to look over the schedule, we're going to get into some pieces around this later on in the show, but you've got over, let's say the next 15 games, I'll lump this in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those games are going to be on ESPN, TNT, ABC. These are nationally televised games that you were not sniffing nearly the same volume of in years past. So the spotlight's getting bigger. Obviously, the names are getting bigger, and you're starting to see everything. You know, the lights are getting brighter. The spotlight is starting to center around Brooklyn. It's probably going to be that way, especially now with Harden. In perpetuity, like the lights are not going to go off. They're not going to turn down, especially when you look around the league and think about maybe even other teams like the Lakers, who are a cruise control team until it comes time to get the playoffs, right? The Nets are now an intriguing team every single night that they get on the court.
Yeah, and it's what happens when you add superstars and you become you just become part of, I don't want to say like the NBA zeitgeist, but it's butting up against that. We've seen that specifically just with tracking our podcast numbers, that having superstars, you know, I think Adam and I do a good job, but I think, you know, there's another part where you're sort of
I thought you meant like you and I superstars, right?
Oh yeah, sorry. When you had supersize, no, you got me. So you know, but we've seen a definitive. You know, we track our own podcast numbers, and we've seen a definitive growth in what happens when you add big names to it. There's no doubt about it. Even to the point where you know, getting calls from other media outlets wanting to interview you about the, you know, about the Brooklyn Nets. And actually, I did a quick spot today with Fox Sports affiliate. And
oh yeah, I meant to ask, did you blow that?
No, I absolutely crushed it. But the
that's what I thought.
Well, there's no doubt that I absolutely. I mean, come on, give me 5 minutes where you ask me a question, and you're going to get 15, and then you have to cut it off at the end. But the host of that said something along the lines of, you know, you have a target on your back now. Not me specifically, obviously, but the team. And I was like, I never really thought about it that way until he said it. It was near the end of the spot, but I thought, oh, that's right, right. That what happens when you kind of create these quasi super teams with these high profile stars, and it definitively happens when James Harden joins the team, is that you now are the team to beat. And I don't know if that was the case with the Cavs last night. It's at home. It's in Cleveland. Kyrie's making his return to Cleveland. I was actually surprised by how few games he had played in Cleveland since leaving there. It was really not, I think I saw, maybe it was Billy Reinhardt posted it. I think it was only his third game back there in Cleveland. I was sort of shocked by that. Really kind of a testament to how little he's maybe played over the last few years. But maybe you see these teams just kind of getting up in a way that isn't going to happen on other nights because they're staring across the court and it's like, oh, that's Kevin Durant. That's James Harden. That's Kyrie Irving. And we need to absolutely bring it against these guys, because they're superstars and I don't want to just roll over here. And so the target on your back thing maybe is an overstatement, but for a team that hasn't won anything, but it's got to be a little bit true when you become maybe just kind of overnight this very high profile team.
And let me go ahead and double down on it. This off of Christian Winfield, who's in and around this NBA, obviously. The Yes Network reported that last night's game debuting, obviously KD, Kyrie, and James Harden together, was the most viewed telecast in the last 6 years of the Yes Network.
Wow.
So, yeah, and this is, and by the way, this is a network that, for wherever they are in the hierarchy of sports, is also the home of the New York Yankees. So, you know, they do have other competition.
Oh, that wasn't just,
over
these, oh, I'm sorry, ago. I misheard that. That wasn't just Nets. That wasn't just Nets. That was just the whole network.
Yeah, that is the most viewed telecast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So you talk about the jump, right? And so if that doesn't kind of drive home the point that you're making, that it has to, I think, at that stage of it. And you know what I will say, too, is going to be interesting probably for you and me. And I think we've already kind of seen this and accepted it, of the analysis around the team is also now heightened on a game-to-game basis, right? Because it is results-oriented. Nets lose to Cleveland last year when Kyrie is already out and is getting his surgery. It's not even a blip on the radar.
Sure.
But now, when you're debuting these players and you're trying to see how they integrate, and now you're thinking about the rotation and who are they going to add to this team, and if they have a hole, does that mean that they're not going to be able to win the finals? You know, everything gets extrapolated out to the nth degree because that's the expectations for this team. So you do end up doing, I think, at times, we could say, more deep level analysis on some more surface level things than you need to. But that's what happens. That's what happens when you get to this level. So, hey, listen, target on the back of the NBA team, target on the back of this podcast. We can handle it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's why someone calls you to talk to you about the Nets when they lose. Right. That's that's the real marker of a team that has ascended to a different place, is that when people want to, when maybe the losses are as interesting as the wins. Because in the past, if you just, you know, when they beat the Lakers last year, right before the season stopped, that's kind of that's like a weird statement game, right? Where it's kind of this plucky, scrappy team. It's a win. They lose to the Lakers, nobody cares. Lose to the Lakers now, people do care, because now they're going to want to know what's going on. So I think, and now again, they haven't lost to the Lakers, but you understand what I'm saying about how just the whole trajectory of the team has changed. All right, we're going to get into some rotations here, get into some locks of the week. I think that we're going to start throwing out there on a weekly basis. But also got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. Got a huge weekend of football coming down here. Just superstar quarterbacks facing each other in the conference rounds, conference finals for the NFL. So it should be a good time on Sunday. Obviously, there's every night of NBA action. And if you want to get in on it, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Right now, sign up for a free account at betonline.ag. and use the promo code Locked On, like our podcast network, for your 50% welcome bonus. They have all the lines, all the spreads, over unders, player props, everything you want to get in on. And we'll talk about a couple of these spreads later on in the podcast. Right now, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On. Receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, before we dive into the next phase, a lot to still break down, I think, from this game as well, obviously, that we can try to glean with now these three stars there. But first, as we know, 2020 has come to an end. That means it's a fresh start in 2021 and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want to get a couple more W's, maybe a little cheddar in your pocket, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are, of course, picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast, wherever you get those podcast needs fulfilled. The secondary piece that we talked about last episode, and we knew we were going to want to come back in with it, is the rotations that we saw in the game against Cleveland, and what can we learn from it, and then what are we going to be keeping our eyes on in this second matchup against Cleveland, because some things just maybe seem logical, and then there's other concerns that I wanted to know where the overlaps were, and you got into what players shared the court beyond the big three.
Sure. So, you know, we knew that the starting lineup was going to be KD, Harden, Kyrie. I mean, I think we pretty much knew it was going to be Jeff Green with Joe Harris off the bench and then DeAndre Jordan. I don't think that was a huge surprise. And then in the first rotation, we get an in or outgoing James Harden, and then Joe Harris comes in, and sort of right behind him was Jeff Green in the TLC. And I thought that was interesting because the Joe Harris piece doesn't surprise me. I understand why they wanted to keep Kyrie on the court longer to start there. And actually, if there's something that were to change later, I think that would be it. I actually wonder if we'll see going forward. Like, for instance, this next game, we'll get into some of these other role players in a second. But this next game, I actually wouldn't be surprised if you saw that swap. If you saw
Harden
Kyrie. Because what happened on the rotation gets a little funky. It's like, so if you can picture this, it goes Harris comes in for, it's not exactly correct here, but it's like Harris and TLC come in for Harden and Jeff Green. And then about 3 minutes later, Harden comes back in and both KD and Kyrie come out. So that was the secondary rotation that comes in. And now it's Harden and then the four bench guys. In Joe Harris, TLC, Reggie Perry comes in, and Bruce Brown. And that's how they end the first quarter. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw this switch, especially after seeing Kyrie operate with the other three, that I wonder if there's going to be an idea that maybe there should be Kyrie that comes out in this first one and have him lead the second unit, because he's so inclined to take his own shot anyway that I actually, and we talked about this, it's like, hey, sometimes you can just maybe have Kyrie and four defenders, however we're going to, and you know, or Joe Harris running screens, and then he's a good defender, but you know what I mean. You have these other defenders, and that's going to be more the way to do it rather than Harden trying to set up just primarily spot-up shooters, which he's pretty good at, plus driving. Like, I wonder if they try to keep Harden, I guess my point is, I wonder if they try to keep Harden a little bit more on the court with DJ, and then have Kyrie surrounded by a little more defense and non-shooting. Does that make sense? Because I think just watching them play together, that's how I might logically take it, because I think Kyrie can actually do a lot more damage while he's giving other people a rest. We didn't discuss this ahead of time, but that's kind of what I envision maybe happening. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw that little switch happen, knowing that, look, Kyrie's going to be Kyrie could play with some incarnation of like Michael Jordan. And then, you know, Magic Johnson, well, that's a bad example. Like Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, I'm trying to think of the high usage guys, like Russell Westbrook, some crazy dudes. And then he'd be like, you know what, I'm putting up 30. Right? Like, right. I'm going to get, he's not wrong. He's a great offensive player. But I wonder if that's better served with guys like TLC and Bruce Brown, who can then just sort of focus on defense, because Kyrie can just kind of break anybody down. And that's, and then those are actually more complementary pieces to him.
Yeah, and I do. Yes. So to me, the definitive statement that I would make on it is, for as great as a passer as Kyrie can be at times, and you said the little more of the, I'm going to go old school, razzle dazzle, but James Harden is a better pure point guard. So, like, he is just a better pure facilitator and someone who's also, to your point, willing to lean into that role more. So having the higher quality offensive talent or extending that time for him makes more sense because he's more inclined and more likely to distribute and get other guys going. And then in that second unit, when ideally you'd rather some guys like let's say Reggie Perry, for example, right? He doesn't need to touch the ball offensively, at least at this stage. And it's okay because you can let that Allen Iverson, I think, comparison you made last episode is also an apt one for Kyrie Irving because the dude can go off. And it's great when he does it. It's only a detriment when it feels like it comes at the hindrance or the reduction of production from other players. Like we saw when you say 14 shots from Harden to 28 for Kyrie. Boy, you probably want to get a little bit more. You want to get, you'd like a little more juice from that squeeze from James Harden. So how do you do that? The first step is just separating them out from one another. And if you just straight flip-flop, I think that works. The other piece, I guess, is around, and I'll say too, DJ looks like he's at his most effective with Harden on the floor as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Because Harden was able to sort of unlock something that I think Spencer and guys like that were also able to sort of do at times, this hard charge and pick and roll stuff. But Harden's just such an expert at it that I think that you're going to get whatever you're going to get at DeAndre. I think you're going to get the most out of it from Harden and not from Kyrie. And I think, staggering their minutes.
Would it be fair to say, like, sorry, this is like a little bit off topic, but like if I labeled Spencer Dinwiddie as like the poor man's James Harden in terms of what his game represents specifically for this team. Like, because it just feels like he's a downhill charger, wants to get at the basket. He's not, we all agree, he's not at the level of Harden. But he was also very good at setting up DeAndre Jordan with those lobs. He was also, very willing to attack into the lane and then look to set up his teammates. Like, it's interesting now with Harden on the roster that you start to think about the one-to-one replacement and elevation, obviously, of what you lost from Spencer Dinwiddie and what James Harden now picks up and then makes better for you in that role.
Yeah, I don't think it's too dissimilar. I think his game is styled a little closer to Harden's than it is to, if we're not comparing them. We're just going to say stylistically, right?
Yes,
how close do you get to somebody else? I think it's stylistically, it's definitely a little closer to that. It's more, a little more brute force stuff rather than finesse. And mm-hmm. Harden is definitely just a bruiser kind of dude. And it really, really works. And Kyrie is just more of one of the all-time finesse players. That's really what he is. His stuff around the rim, for a guy that's his size, is kind of unprecedented. There are very few other guys. Steph has a little of it, but not really. His ability to finish in traffic, to finish guys that are way bigger than him. There's a highlight from last night where he just dribbled. I mean, he ends up dribbling for like 11 seconds. It's brutal, but he ends up finishing with a layup after he crossed over his defender about 9 times. Right. And I think it was Nance, and it was just something way bigger than him. Right. And it's just something he's able to do that few other players are doing. When you can do that, you can just have Bruce Brown and TLC be around you. And then maybe Joe Harris still running off screens as much as possible because Bruce Brown doesn't need the ball. TLC ultimately doesn't need the ball. I think these guys understand that. And they're not exactly the lights out shooters you want around Harden all the time, who's able to sort of penetrate and kick and with that sort of game. So, look, this is taking. This is, having your cake and eating it too when you're talking about who do I pair my superstars with. But I do think the fit will be better. I'm really interested to see if they stick with the same rotation. My guess is they begin switching it up here. I think it would be very smart, especially against this other team who really confounded them with a high zone or a spread zone that did give them problems at times. If you notice it during the game, that the zone stuff was, and they ran it a lot. Really a lot more than an NBA team should be allowed to run zone against these kind of guys, but it was kind of working. And so I wonder if you see them try to attack the zone more, Kyrie on his own, and then KD and Harden, who are going to be able to attack almost any defenses when it's just those two.
Yeah, and I'm gonna save for our next segment here something that I have a question around the guys specifically in the starting rotation. But the last piece that I think just to get out on from this game, again, we mentioned about what could happen at the end of the game, rotations, etc. But do you think that just in the short term, at least prior to these other three openings on the roster being filled, but Bruce Brown, the 7 minutes, again, specifically, doesn't need to shoot, can just be locked in on defense. He needs to be the balancer alongside Harden, alongside Kyrie. Doesn't he need to see a larger minute share, even over a TLC, who, by the way, and this is the one game, but went 0-for-6 from the field and, you know, had a rough shooting night. But if I'm going to pin myself on getting someone a little bit more and slotting them alongside at the two guard, it should be Bruce Brown because of the upside that he can give you defensively.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs do trend bigger, I'll say that. So it's a little hard to play a lot of guards together because their team across the board, Okoro's ostensibly the two with Garland out, and that does make them bigger because he's probably projects more like a three, and then Osman kind of gets pushed up. So, and then Nance, I mean, Nance is essentially like a small ball five at this point, and they were playing Nance and Allen. So I think it probably is a little harder to slot him in when this Bruce Brown I'm speaking about, especially when you have Harden and Kyrie, because he's going to get left out because there's defensively, it's just one of these teams. The Cavs stink, so don't get me wrong. I get they just beat the Nets, whatever, but they're just not definitely not a good team. But if you want to say one thing about them, is they trend very, very big, especially with the injuries that they have, with Garland being out, Kevin Porter's kind of just on his way out of the team at this point. So, and all the rest of their guards are hurt. They traded Exum, Dellavedova's been hurt. So they're not a guard-heavy team by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, at one point, they were starting like Damian Dotson at point guard because they just had no other guards available. This is all to say, when that's the case with a team, a guy like Bruce Brown, I can begin to understand at least why it's a little harder to find him minutes, because who is he going to guard if he's sharing the court with the other guards? We're going to get to the rest of this in a minute. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
All right, so we are about to now introduce what is going to be the new Friday segment that we are kind of teasing throughout the week here. But before we do, got to remind everybody that if you want to go behind the scenes, the game that you love, and get all the sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast, you can do so. Because every week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to the Rejecting the Screen podcast wherever you get those podcast needs fulfilled. And now, my friend, as you've been waiting for, I know, it's time for...
You better lock it up.
You lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
That's right. It is Lock It Up. If you're... Listen, first of all, if you're not a fan and you don't get the reference, shame on you. I'm not going to tell you to stop listening. Keep listening. And then maybe just go figure out what you're not being a part of here. As we dive into the Lock It Up segment, Doug, I'll touch back on the rotation piece that we mentioned in the last segment. And I'll throw out to you here first, because everybody played really heavy minutes there in that starting unit, except for one DeAndre Jordan. If I said to you, Jordan is never going to see 30 plus minutes, regardless of what his role is, do you lock that up?
Oh, never. I will not lock that up. I think there's going to be a few instances where he does see 30 minutes, but I think it's going to be few and far between. But I'm not locking that up. No, I think there are going to be times where it necessitates that he stay on the court for a longer period of time, especially when they're closing.
Fair enough. Okay, listen, these are things you can watch for, friends. Doug is getting bold and beautiful. And the good thing is here also that I'm asking you the questions, so I'm not really putting myself on the line at all.
No problem.
So Friday night, we are going to see the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're also then over the weekend going to see the Miami Heat. If I said to you, good sir, the Nets will not surrender, they will hold over these two games their opponents to a combined 220 or less points, do you lock that up?
Oh, combined? Yeah, I will lock that up because I actually think that the Cleveland is not going to have anywhere close to the offensive game that they had last game. So I'm going to take a lot of that off the Cleveland side here. And I know they just put up 147, but I'm very confident that they don't get it. Well, that was in two overtimes. They put 113 in regulation. I think that there's a chance the Nets hold them to closer to 100 points here in this game. So I'm going to take a lot of those points off the Cleveland side here. Miami actually hasn't really been, it's been no kind of great.
They've
shakes.
Been odd, they did, right?
They've been, well, yeah. they've had so many COVID problems. Jimmy Butler's been out for a ton. They've been losing guys. Hero sat out. He's got an injury. They've had so many, you really can't look at their record. So if they're able to get everyone back on the court, although I think they recently did rule a lot of these guys out for their Friday game, maybe I change my tune, but I'm going to go that they just can't get it together with the injuries. I think that's a pretty easy lock it up for the under 220.
I like that. Yeah, because by the way, the Nets are holding, we can say however you want to, you'll put that in air quotes maybe, holding teams to about 115 per game. And as we said, coming out of this first Cleveland matchup, I safely assume that this is the oh, excuse, you know, hold my beer. I know you guys just beat us, but let me put on a little bit of a show here. And I may not even mean that figuratively when we're talking about James Harden. He may literally ask someone to hold his beverage. All right, before we get into a more personal piece, the last kind of major one we'll throw out here is starting on Monday, we'll pick up with that second of the two matches with Miami. You're going to have Atlanta, OKC, and you'll finish out the week on Sunday at the Washington Wizards. That's going to give you a four-game sample size over the week. Nets record 3-1. Lock it up.
Give me the four teams again.
You will be at home for Miami, on the road in Atlanta, on the road in OKC, and on the road against Washington.
3-1. I think it's 3-1. I think the OKC been playing really tough, still not nearly at the skill level that the Nets are, even with the defensive issues. Not really all that worried about that one. Washington is a dumpster fire. They have not played in forever, and they have injuries. So they got all kinds. They got problems out the wazoo. The Miami game, we talked about their weirdness in there, and I've already forgot. Oh, Atlanta. Atlanta's dealing with some injury issues, too. Gallo's out. They lost Bogdanovich. The other wings, Reddish and Hunter, have been sort of in and out of the lineup. So I'm going to go 3-1. I think there's some chance of 4-0 here. So
okay. Come on now.
I just think this is a pretty good stretch for the Nets here in terms. They got to make hay. They really 3-1 should be the goal at minimum against these four teams. I guess Atlanta, if they're fully healthy, maybe you talk about it. And Miami, if they're fully healthy. But none of these teams have been like that really since the start of the year. So I'm putting out 3-1. Hey, before you get to the personal one,
yeah,
I do want to say, because we mentioned we're going to talk about this, BetOnline right now has the Nets minus 10 against the Cavs. I actually don't mind that number, and I know they just lost to this team. So first of all, betting markets are not worried at all about the Nets being able to bounce back. Cleveland still shot 50% from three in this game. That is not likely to continue from just what's typically a pretty bad three-point shooting team. So the minus 10, I really think the Nets come out here and say they looked a little gassed at the end. And I think they say that was not indicative of what we're going to do. And so I think they really, I know, six turnovers early. They could have been up by so much to start this game. I think minus 10 actually looks pretty good to me.
Do you think, yeah, so you're saying that it's not likely that over a 10-minute stretch, essentially, in those two overtimes, that Sexton scores 22 points?
Exactly. I mean, it's crazy. They really, and the first quarter was a mess, too. So I think they cleaned some stuff up. The rotations look a little different. Minus 10 looks pretty good.
All right. Listen, let's just go personal here. This is, you know, listen, John Beckwith, Jeremy Gray, they step in the door. They tell you to lock it up. Hey, you lock it up, I'll lock it up. You are now trailing currently in the Locked On Network Fantasy Basketball League. To you know who? You're losing to me, buddy. 6-2 right now in the 9-cat league. You're going to beat me by the time this week is over. Lock it up.
Oh, man. My team, talk about teams being decimated by injuries. My team has been ruined with this stuff this season. It's really bad. I mean, I know this isn't really crazy for this week, but my first three picks, Doncic, good. Westbrook been hurt forever. Washington just hasn't played forever. Kyrie just sat out the 8 games or whatever that he sat out. So this team has I think about other problems too, like Jonas Valanciunas. I didn't realize you were gonna ask me about this is how we play on a show. I didn't even realize you're gonna ask me about this. Other guys, yeah, Westbrook been out, Jonas Valanciunas been out, Michael Porter's been hurt. I've had to drop other guys. Yeah, my team's a mess. Right now I'm down 6-2. I think I probably am not going to come back. I just have too many. I'm dealing with so many injuries here. So can't lock that one up, unfortunately. Although I'm looking at this now. There's an outside chance.
By the way, speculative on all these other ones, it only makes sense that you couldn't lock this win up. When you talk about a guy in me who just, as everyone agrees, consensus is I draft terribly in fantasy basketball. And I can illustrate that by saying that I have Edwards on my team. And yeah. I've been starting him and letting him just brutalize every one of my matchups with his terrible field goal percentage. So I've actually just been sitting him in our matchup. I've just been sticking him on the bench and not having him drag me down. We'll see how it plays out.
A good sign, not that anyone cares about listening to other teams' fantasy basketball, but a good sign how my team is going. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, let's see, 5. I currently have 5 guys, and this is a pretty deep league, 5 guys that I did not draft. So I've been trying to piece it together with the – thanks a lot, COVID. It's ruining this fantasy basketball thing.
There's one more thing to blame on 2020 and COVID. That, my friends, is a little segment that we like to call Lock It Up.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Rating and reviewing the podcast is the number one way to help. The numbers continue to climb because you continue to listen, and we're so appreciative of it. So great. It's just a great feeling seeing these numbers go up every single day. Makes us motivated. We've always wanted to talk about Brooklyn Nets, and it just makes it that much easier. The best way you can help us right now, visit our sponsors like betonline.ag. But also totally free, go and rate and review the podcast. 5 stars or bust, maybe throw in a nice word as well. The podcast platforms love to see that. Rate and review the podcast, the number one way to help.
I'm sorry I called you hillbilly. I don't even know what that meant. John Beckwith.
One of the all time great posts. We'll be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.